Good morning, everyone. Happy Christmas to you. Happy New Year. Everybody good? Everybody healthy? Everybody recovered? Excellent. Well, the season has gone by, and I've only gotten to do this once. And so we're going to indulge me. Stand and sing with me. Ready? Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad, prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad, prospero año y felicidad. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. Okay, now I'm done. You be seated.
We are so glad you're here today. This is one of those interesting times in our calendar year where you've got a lot of people who are traveling. They've traveled away from the holidays. Some are coming back about now. We've got other people who haven't left yet, and they're going to be leaving this week. And that week between Christmas and New Year's, at least in the world of church planning also, is really kind of just one of those weeks where, you know, you just anticipate people won't be around. What do? Christmas and the ramp up to Christmas is over, but you're not quite at the new year yet. And everybody doesn't get pumped up about the new year, so you don't make too big a deal about that. And so what do you do? Well, last year, we took a stab at doing something. We wrote a story, and then we put music around it, and we shared it with you as part of our worship experience on that week between Christmas and New Year's. Not because we always want to do the same thing, but this year, we put together another story, and we're going to do that again this morning. Then to add to the story, Mark Percy has taken some images, and he has attempted to bring the story to life. And so when I'm telling the story in a little while, you'll be able to look at the screens and see the story kind of unfold as it kind of takes place. And so hopefully you'll enjoy that. It's a little bit different. And it's just Michael and I this morning. For a lot of years, it would be Michael and I on stage somewhere. And we traveled a lot. We did a lot of stuff together. And I made the joke earlier, but it was really truer than I remembered. Sometimes we would get paid for it. And then sometimes we wouldn't get paid for it. And the places that weren't paying us, we would just stay there until they gave us a check to quit. And we would eventually quit, and then we would get out of the way. And so, but we're glad that you're here. Hopefully, this will be a meaningful time for you. Hopefully, you'll enjoy the time that we're together this morning, and we'll create a few memories, because Christmas is about creating memories. A new year allows us to step into the future and be excited about what God's doing. So hopefully that will all happen for you this morning and be a meaningful time. We want to do something very special this morning because we have a very special participant in worship this morning. And she's not usually here with us in worship this morning, but the fact that she is today is a big deal. And so for Joanna Anderson, I'm going to ask if she would bring her parents up to the front this morning, because Joanna is with us this morning in worship, and we are going to spend a few minutes. Daddy,
you got it.
We're going to spend a few minutes. You're good. A few minutes dedicating her this morning, and Joel and Jacinth, of course, as parents, as an act of worship. But also on a day when it worked out great to get family, and we got family sitting over here. Hi, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Just a great part of the celebration of being family and doing life together. And we talked about when we could get the schedule for quite a while. So, I mean, we kind of went back and forth, and this is the day that worked. And so, and just so you know, the 9 o'clock crowd didn't see it. This is not a rerun of 9 o'clock. We didn't do this at 9. This is a one and done. We're excited about that. So this is a holy moment. Not because parents are perfect, not because your child is perfect.
She's close. Oh.
And when she's a teen, call me. But at this point, kids are small and quieter for the most part. But we're here to celebrate because love has shown up and God is blessed. And so Scott, who is our director of children's ministry, is going to introduce Annie to everybody this morning, because this is the first time they've seen her. They don't get to hang out in the kids' zone. They don't know where she is most weeks. And so this is Annie. And Scott, introduce us. Tell us what we need to know.
All right. Well, this is Annie, and this is Jacinth and Joelle. Amazing, amazing family. And JoJo, you're back there too. Awesome. But Annie, let's talk about Annie for a second. One of the coolest things about her is she's super observant. She's super athletic. You are all over the place all the time. Yes, you are. All right, you love to climb on things. Yeah, you're trying to jump her right now, okay? She loves to climb. She's super strong. She's really social. She's going to be a really big talker at some point. And she does, you said she's quiet now. No, she's not. No, she's a talker. She's not afraid of people, okay? She likes to be held by anybody, and she has one of the most beautiful smiles. She really, truly does. She loves her family, and she really looks up to her big brother and loves him a lot. She's a great little girl, and she's really fun to have in the back. She's just all over the place. You have to watch her like this. She's all over, right? Whew. I know, and you're walking. Yeah? Yeah? You are? Come on. Try. She is. But I'd like to say a couple things about Jacinth and Joelle as well. We've known Jacinth and Joelle since college, and it's been really fun to watch her grow just in her walk with Jesus. And then Joelle came along just shortly after. We met her, and what an amazing family. Joelle, it's awesome to watch you lead your family with Christ as the center. It's really, really encouraging. And it's just great to see you guys with the beautiful kids. You make beautiful kids, right? And it's so good that you guys love Jesus so much. And it's been fun to watch you grow. Yeah.
She's like, oh, I want to eat it. Can I eat it?
Can I eat it?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait.
Yep.
There it is. She blessed it.
Yeah.
But no, it's so awesome. And so great to see you guys growing. And love you guys very much.
Such an important part of our church, our ministry here, involved in different areas where they're impacting your life. We know that. But today, we want to take a moment to join you in doing what you have already done, in essence. You have already said that Annie is a gift to you from God. But you wanted to stand here before your church family and share publicly that you recognize that. You want her to become the young woman that God has created her to be. You want to be the parents and continue to be the parents that God has called you to be. And we are a part of that journey with you. And we love that, that we can be a part of that journey with you. The Bible says that children are a gift from God, and they're a reward in some ways from him. Because, I mean, that's really what a child is. I mean, it's not that you did anything to earn that child, but it's just God blessing you. Today, you stand before God and the church at 434 and acknowledge that this child is not simply yours, but it is a gift that God has given and entrusted to you to do the best that you possibly can as a parent raising this child. So you're not dedicating this child today to a flawless future. That's not what this means. You're dedicating yourselves as a mom and a dad to a faithful presence in her life, to be patient when the days are long, to give grace when mistakes are made, to be there with courage when the world gets a little bit loud, and to keep pointing your child to God over and over and over again. And so this moment is not about promises of perfection. It's about intentional direction. And so, Joel, Jacinth, you've been chosen by God for this moment, not by accident, not by chance, but by divine design. You'll be your children's first picture of love. You will be the picture of love that they will remember the most. You will be the picture of love that they understand before they ever know what it means to love Jesus. You become that model. You are your child's first experience of forgiveness. And so when mistakes will be made, the way that you forgive will be the reference point that your child will use. Is how does God forgive us? And that's what you get to do. You'll be the first example of prayer. You'll be the first glimpse of what God looks like, because you're what your children know. And so today I'm going to ask you some questions, not lightly, but prayerfully, and I will have you respond accordingly if you choose to do this. Jacinth and Joel, do you commit to love this child unconditionally, to protect her, provide for her, and nurture her in body, mind, and spirit? If so, please respond, we do. Do you commit to creating a home where faith is visible, where grace is practiced, where forgiveness is spoken, and where God is honored, not just in words, but in daily life? If so, please respond, we do.
We do. Okay.
Do you commit to praying for your child and guiding her with wisdom, trusting God with her future, even when that future seems less than clear for you? If you will do that, please respond, we do.
We do.
Okay. She's a busy girl. But this child, Annie, is a life that God knows by name. And God knew her before you ever did, because he took her and knit her together in just the way she was supposed to be created, in the womb, before you ever got to lay eyes on her. It's a story that God is already writing. She has a heart that God already loves. And so when you're holding her and you're listening to her in all the busyness, you're getting to place your hands on a story that God is still in the process of creating. That is sacred. That is an awesome responsibility. We as the church appreciate that. We understand that. We often say when we get our parents together, there's no such thing as a perfect parent, but we will have your back. And that's the promise that we make to you this day. You care enough about your children to bring them here to this place. You care enough about your children to dedicate them to God. And we care enough about them and you to be there to support you and love you. So this morning, as a church, you have your moment as well. Do you as a church, body of people who are here in this place this morning, commit yourself to praying for Annie and JoJo as you see them from time to time? Yes. And you watch them grow. If that is a commitment you will make, please say, we do.
We do.
And also, and this is a biggie. Do you promise Jacinth, Joel, Annie, and JoJo that you will do your very best to model for them what a follower looks like as they live out their life on a day-to-day basis? Will you become that model of Jesus outside of their parents that they can look to and say, that's what a godly man and woman looks like? If you would commit yourselves to do that, would you say, we will?
We will.
All right. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Annie, for every heartbeat, every breath, every possibility that you've placed within her. We thank you for Jacinth and Joel and their family, for the love that you've placed in their hearts, for the courage that you've given them to lead and live with faith. And so, Heavenly Father, this day, We dedicate Annie to you. May she grow in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and with others. Would you protect her and guide her? Help her hearts to know your truth and to reflect your love. Help Joelle and Jacinth as parents. Give them patience when they are weary, wisdom when they are unsure, and a ton of grace when they fall short. May their home be filled with peace. May their words build and speak life. And may your presence be felt in every season ahead. We give Annie to you and place her in your hands, which is the safest place she could ever be. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We have a gift for you. Well, really for Annie. But for you. For you. Hold on a second. Go get it. We can't let you leave without door prizes. And so here is an official Church at 434 certificate of dedication. Not everybody gets these. Certifies that Joanna Pearl Anderson was dedicated before God here at the Church at 434. Yeah. On the 28th of December, 2025. And so this is something that is destined for a baby book somewhere. And we appreciate that. And we want you to have that, though, to remember today. We also have for you a Bible that we give you permission, even mom and dad say maybe not, that you want to chew on it, love it, hug it. We want you, Annie, to just develop a love for the Word of God. That means nothing to you right now when I'm saying it. But one day it will, and here's my promise from all these people, Annie. If you wear that book out, I'll give you another one. As long as you live, you'll have a Bible if I have anything to do with it. And if the Church of 434 has anything to do with it. And so that is a gift, got her name in it. But you also can put that in a drawer if you need to. I understand that. Because it's Christmas time, we have a light-up board book called The World's Best Christmas Light that you guys can read and share in the days ahead. And also a devotion book called Jesus Listens for Christmas, designed for kids, prayers and devotions for you guys to use as you get to next Christmas with JoJo and Annie both, okay?
Thank you.
We love you so much, and thank you for letting us do this today. God bless you guys.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is born. Come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. And yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to all men. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son. Traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Hallelujah, hallelujah, to heaven replies.
In a town where the snowfall whispered like prayer, lived a boy named Eli with hope in the air. The rooftops wore blankets of crystalline lace, and each window reflected the stars in God's face. The lamplights all shimmered through frost-feathered panes, while evergreen bells ran down to the lanes. Yet one house stood quiet, though warm with its glow. A boy dreamed of wonders that the world didn't know. He'd sit by the window as night met the day and listen to stories his grandpa would say of battles and bravery, laughter and loss, of moments held dear, and the price of their cost. For Grandpa Jack carried both courage and scars. His eyes held the heavens, his soul held the stars. And each Christmas Eve, by the firelight's gleam, he'd tell of a watch that had vanished like a dream.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see. thy deep, endless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend on us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels their great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide in us, our God Emmanuel.
He'd say, long ago, when the world was at war, I left for a fight, though I wanted no more. And your grandma, sweet Mary, stood brave in the rain and gave me a gift to remember her name. He'd hold out his palm, empty and old, still proud, and the fire would flicker and the silence grow loud. It was gold, he'd whisper, engraved on the back. Every moment with you is a gift I won't lack. But one night of thunder and flashes of flame, when fire split the sky apart and fear had a name, the watch slipped away through the mud and the rain, lost somewhere between the earth and the rain. And though he came home with the war far behind, the ticking of time was a ghost in his mind. He'd glance for his watch when the carolers sang and remember the moment when church bells rang. Now, every December, his heart softly ached for the time that was stolen, the vow that was breaked. Yet he'd smile for the boy, as grandfathers do, and hide all the longing that love once knew.
One snowy night,
as the stars took their stand. Eli pressed his face to the frost icy hand. The house had grown quiet. The fire burned low, and the dreams wrapped around him in a soft golden glow. He whispered, "Dear Jesus, if you're still awake, could you fix a lost heart for an old man's sake?" He smiled through the years, though his eyes sometimes cry. "Please help me return what time let slip by." Then the wind seemed to answer. Shadows took flight. The candle flame wavered and then brightened with light. And deep in his heart came a voice warm and clear. "Love still remembers what time can't hold dear. Go sleep, little dreamer, for heaven is kind, and tomorrow brings wonders for hearts that still find." And though he did not see wings or bright beams, he felt something holy drift into his dreams. Outside, the snowflakes danced in celestial rhyme, for love was preparing to rewrite time.
In the darkness shines with a promise, Emmanuel. And one child born in the stillness, living within us, Emmanuel. We're singing glory. For the voiceless, a hope for the hopeless, Emmanuel. One love brings us together, now and forever, Emmanuel. We're singing glory, glory, let there be. We're singing glory. let there be peace. Let it start in me.
The morning arrived with a crash and a shout. The mailman was stuck. The dog had run out. The cat climbed the curtains. Cocoa was spilled. And laughter was everywhere, joyous and filled. Then, ding dong, then a knock at a frosted glass door. A package sat waiting right there on the floor. No name, no label, just ribbon and string. And faintly, so faintly, a small ticking thing. He opened it slowly. The air seemed to freeze, like time held its breath among garland and trees. And inside was a watch, old, dented, and worn, with a glimmer that whispered, "I've been reborn." The watch turned in rhythm, so steady and kind, as if heaven itself had rewound the time. And through the front window, through snow's diamond glow, a stranger in crimson stood down below. A red velvet coat and a smile so kind, he nodded his head when Eli spoke, seeking to find. "Who are you, sir?" the boy tried to see. "Just a helper," he answered, "as once they helped me." Then the wind swirled around, and the man disappeared, leaving footprints of light where he'd just been revered.
Child in a land of a thousand. One small dream of a savior tonight. One small hand reaching out to the starlight. One small city of life.
Through snow that was shining with laughter and grace, Eli raced homeward, pure joy on his face. He burst through the door with the speed of a star and found Grandpa Jack right where his stories still are. "Grandpa," he shouted, "look what I found." The watch softly ticking, a beautiful sound. Jack froze, then reached out with hands trembling wide. The world seemed to stop. Time paused by his side. He traced every mark, every dent, every scar. Each memory buried now gleamed like a star. Where did you find this?" the old man could say. "It found me," said Eli. "It wanted to stay." And suddenly warmth filled the room like a tide. The Christmas tree glowed with a light from his side. The fire roared higher, the bells seemed to chime, and heaven leaned close just for that time. Tears met with laughter, prayers met with song, and time once divided was made whole and strong. For love is a circle that will never cease, and its rhythm is mercy, its melody, peace.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of a dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth.
Praise his name for
his power and glory evermore. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, now.
Outside, by the lamplight, the stranger appeared, his coat brushed with snow, his expression revered. He smiled toward the window where love had come true, and then whispered, "The best gifts are those born anew." And he turned toward the night, and the snowfall did part, if angels themselves walked beside his heart. Another wish kept, he said to the air, for the giver of gifts still answers prayer. And though none could see him, his footprints remained, glowing softly like embers where miracles reigned. For every Christmas, when love lights the flame, the gift giver returns, though few know his name.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. Altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship. You're altogether lovely. Altogether wonderful to me.
that night by the fire, they sang soft and low, while snowflakes danced wild in the lamplight's glow. Jack raised the watch. It's ticking divine. Each moment a melody, sacred in time. Once I lost my time, he said with a sigh, but love has a way of giving reply. For what war or sorrow may steal or erase, love always restores by the hand of God's grace. And Eli just smiled, his heart beating fast, for he knew that this moment would forever last. The watch ticked in rhythm with bells from afar as heaven applauded beneath every star. And somewhere beyond where the angels still climb, a voice softly whispered, "This is the gift of time."
In Bethlehem, one holy night, a host of angels filled the sky. They sang to tell the world who waits, our Savior comes this Christmas Day. God is with us, Christ our Savior, Jesus our Emmanuel. He shall reign our King forever, hope of Israel. The wise men traveled from afar. They followed close a shining star with costly gifts before him lay. Our King was born this Christmas Day. Christ our Savior, Jesus our Emmanuel. He shall reign our King forever, hope of Israel. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Let violence and all hatred end. For born to us the Prince of Peace, this Christmas Day our song shall be.
We've used a phrase on a number of occasions during our Christmas celebration this year, that Christmas is not something you outgrow, but Christmas is something that you grow into. See, for anyone who understands that, it is the gift of time that allows us to grow into Christmas just a little bit more each and every year. In all our lives, we've experienced the gift of time. Today, this moment, this worship experience, a parent-child dedication, Christmas songs, the story, worship songs, all a gift of time. Time that God gave you this day, and you've chosen to spend it here, the church at 434. See, time is the only thing you can't get back. You can't rewind it. You don't get a do-over. And yet each morning is a gift from God. A brand new day. A brand new series of moments. And hopefully, if you're wise, a brand new series of memories that you take with you into the next day. I'm amazed sometimes at how cavalier and careless we are with the gift of time. Some people spend their lives squandering time. They're worried about what someone else said, what someone else did. They're worried about what someone else might be thinking. They're worried about what someone else might do next. And at the end of the day, they've taken that precious gift of time that God has given them and squandered it, wasted it, never able to recover it again. And then sometimes we keep thinking that our gift of time depends upon someone else and what they're doing, what we're waiting for them to do. But yet at the end of the day, the gift of time that God gives you is just for you. And what you choose to do with your time screams volumes about how well you know Jesus. And the better you know Jesus, the more you follow Jesus, the more precious this gift of time becomes. God is the creator of time. He put it into motion, and he controls all of it. And every day that you have is not only a gift, but according to Scripture, was written out for you in a book before you were ever born. And you are moving along that timeline that God has created just for you. A precious gift. And so what happens along the way is we have the opportunity each and every Christmas, each and every holiday season, to go back and remember what Jesus did and remember what he's done. And on this week, when we move from Christmas into a brand new year, we're very much aware that the whole world is thinking about a clock ticking toward the beginning of a new year. I don't think New Year's Day means a whole lot to Jesus. Because every day that he creates is a day worth celebrating. And it's a day that we should be able to say, today is a party. Because God's given it to me. And I need to do something with it. But even Jesus knew how precious time was. And Jesus did something that stunned his closest friends. Because Jesus knew that if we were not careful, not only would we squander our time, but we would fail to remember what was really important. Jesus, as he walked on planet Earth, was out of days. In less than a day, he would die. and he sat down for a Passover feast with his closest friends. A time of great celebration. And then, in the most amazing moment, Jesus blew up what they knew as the Passover celebration. A time when, on purpose, they would think back at the past and move to the future. And Jesus rewound time, and then, with a twist of a phrase, sprung into the future in a way that left his disciples stunned. Because Jesus took the bread that night and did the most amazing thing. In the middle of the Passover feast, he stopped. He said, "This bread represents my body, which is broken for you." And he was setting up what was getting ready to happen in the following hours that left his followers stunned, not knowing how to react. And so today, as we think about the valuable gift of time that we have, we realize that if it was important enough for Jesus to say, "You need to do this, and when you do, remember," what a better way to move from an old year into a new year? The passing of time than remembering once again what happened at that Last Supper the night before he died. And Jesus took that bread, and Scripture says that he blessed it. And after he blessed it, he asked them to remember. Today, we will share in that moment, and even now, there is a small cracker, a piece of bread that's being passed to you. Our invitation to you is that you would take it and that you would remember the gift of love that God has given you. And in just a moment, after I bless it, we will eat together in this moment. Jesus took the bread and blessed it and invited them to eat. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do remember. We remember the story that we've told so many times through these past few weeks, the Christmas story, and we've revisited that gift of love that you gave us that day in the manger. And we remember that love, and we remember your life, and then we remember in this moment how you were explaining to us, even now, so clearly what you were about to do and why it was so important. And so, Heavenly Father, don't allow us to lose this moment in time. Help us to hold on to it as a precious gift. And do exactly what you commanded us to do as often as we do this. Remember. Amen. Take and eat and remember. And then Scripture says that he took the cup. And after they had eaten the bread, he took the cup and he blessed it. And he explained to them that this cup represents my blood, which is shed for the remission of sins. See, they understood that a blood sacrifice was an important part of the redemption, atonement process, forgiveness process. They were familiar with that because of their Jewish backgrounds. After all, it was a Passover meal. And yet, while they were still whispering among themselves about what Jesus might have meant when he said that that cup or that bread was his body, now he's passing the cup and it's becoming blood? And you have to understand that Jesus asked us to remember because symbolically we need to remember the sacrifice he made for us because it's what allows us to have the relationship that we have with him. Today, as we have passed the bread and cup, you've discovered that the bread is nothing more than a cracker. And the cup, in case you're wondering, welches. Nothing magical. Nothing magical at all about the things that we're passing around the room. The bread didn't magically become the body. The cup, the welches grew. The juice didn't magically become blood. That's not biblical. It's not good theology. What this is a reminder that anchors us back to a moment in time that was so important that we should never forget it. And like Christmas, as time goes by, we don't outgrow it. We just grow into it more and more. And the more we understand it, the richer and more powerful it becomes. And so, he blessed the cup and said, take and drink. And as often as you do, remember. Take, drink, and remember. From the manger to the cross to an empty tomb, Jesus moved flawlessly through time in such a way that would forever change ours. And if you know him, then you understand that each moment you have is a precious gift. And time is not meant to be squandered. He's put mourning and tears on the clock. Time is running out. He's taken hurt and pain and sorrow and put it on the clock. Time is running out. And he's taken your life and he said, I'm going to give you this day as a gift, so that you can love others and forgive others as I've loved and forgiven you. And he invites you to take the greatest journey you could ever take with him. So somehow, some way, as we moved from Christmas to a new year, that's what we tried to illustrate to you this morning. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, the gift of time, not a gift to be taken lightly, not a gift that we should ignore. We should value each moment and live it to the fullest in a way that is best going to honor you and bring you glory. We thank you for the moments that we've spent here together this day. And we would ask, as we end this time of worship and bring to a close a calendar year, that we would do so with hearts that are full and mindful of how precious the gift of time is, but excited about the fact that we have more time to do what you created us to do. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, here I am to worship, and here I am to bow. Here I am to say, you're my God. You're altogether lovely. You're altogether worthy. Altogether wonderful to me.
On behalf of the church at 434, let me wish you Happy New Year. Be smart. Be wise. Be intelligent. Be safe in your New Year's Eve celebrations. Thank God for the moments that He gives, and celebrate the beginning of a brand new year and a new day. We thank you so much for being here this morning. We thank you for the journey that we're on. And we have news for you. In the past, God has blessed us so much. We are thrilled to death about what God is going to do in the future. And here's my promise to you. You ain't seen nothing yet. And so get ready. Buckle up. It's going to be wild. And we're going to do things this next year that we've never done before. And we're going to celebrate each day that God gives us as an amazing time and gift from Him. This morning, as you exit, we're going to take a few minutes, too, and we do what we call Unwrapping 434. If you are new to the 434 experience, if you have never had the opportunity to talk to our staff or anything like that, you have questions, thoughts, no matter where you are in the journey, in the middle school room, which is to the left-hand side as you exit the doors, Michael and Leanne are going to be in there. This morning, as you exit, if you want to have just a face-to-face moment with them or ask them a question that only they can answer, stick your head in the door and do that. Take advantage of the opportunity that you have to do that as we unwrap 434 this week. But stand to your feet as we're dismissed. Look at the person next to you and wish them a Happy New Year. And repeat after me. Thank you, God, for the gift of time. You're dismissed.